Hello and welcome to the Hotel Marketing Show. In this podcast, we're going to talk about all things hotel marketing. We're going to talk about things that are happening in the industry, insights, things that all hotel marketers or anybody that has an interest in hotel marketing wants to know about. My name is Victoria.
And I'm Nadine.
And we're the hosts of the Hotel Marketing Show.
To kick off the podcast today, in this episode, we're going to be talking with Taya, co-founder of Metrics Driven, about e-commerce practices for the hotel industry. And we had such a great chat with Taya that this is just a quick note to say we've split this podcast into two episodes. In part one of the episode with Taya, we talked a lot about introducing like the concept of story brand and the importance of branding for hotels. In this episode, we talk more about how hotels can measure the success of the things that Taya is talking about in the first part of this episode.
Both parts are equally amazing, first of all. I think that our session with Taya was just so nice because she really is the true expert when it comes to hospitality, and it was just a real pleasure to have her here. So there's just so much more. Here's part two of the episode we recorded with Taya. I know we also have a question for you, which is a very important question. It comes to the bottom line of things, I think, for a lot of people. It's like, okay, but how do I measure the success, or where do I start? Because I think in a lot of conversations we're also having, there are so many different measurements and KPIs and numbers and just so much. What are some of the important things that you should have a focus on when it comes to growing your strategy?
That's a very, very complicated question, because
we did we will challenge you on the podcast.
I'm not sure I can even give a one concrete answer, because there are so many types of hotels. And I know when I was doing meta search, I mean, you could have hotels that are in the same street, right, doing pretty much the same campaign, for traffic, and one would be performing like crazy and the other one is tanking completely. And then you're like figuring out why that is you have to shake down the whole sales funnel that they have from top to bottom to try and even figure out, you know, where are the choke points, where are the breaking points, why is one working and the other is not. And it is such a hard thing to do, that combined with what we spoke about before, that in hotel commerce you don't have enough traffic on the hotel websites, even if you crank up the paid traffic to, you know, insane amounts, you still don't have enough generally to do like proper CRO optimization. It comes down to having a feeling of the people that are analyzing the data and looking at, you know, performance of your paid traffic and conversions. Basically, my opinion on that is that you should test things. You should test different messaging. You should test different types of traffic. I would even test different conversion tools, right? So conversion points, booking engines. And it has to be done in cycles, but you determine what is the goal. So is my goal to build more loyalty with my guests, in which case you have to get feedback from the guests. And as we know, with hotels, it's always delayed by whatever is the time of the booking, right? You can get 10 bookings in a month and it can be one per month for the next 10 months. So that makes collecting the feedback and the actual results quite hard. And most of the time it will come down to a period of years that reflects in non-signaled feedback of your overall brand. You know, you will not have hard KPIs, but I can tell you, I've seen hotels that have had on Meta a conversion rate between 15 and 25%. And you know how it is in normal e-commerce. I mean, it's like 2% is considered yay, okay. But hotels that put in this work over time, right? And it's not about like having huge budgets and putting tons of people or tons of money on it. It's more about consistency. And that's why I think also the 80-20 rule applies here, that small steps that you can do immediately, right, from this content generation, most of it will start from that, from being authentic with what your brand is and what you're actually standing behind. And this actually ties into what you said, Nadine, before. People are traveling also with a cause after the pandemic. And there were studies done that travelers are interested in how the hotel is actually treating staff, right? So these are the signals that all tie into the success of your overall strategy. And it is very hard to measure something that is drawn out on such a big scale, right? On such a large scale. But it is possible, because the hotels that I've seen that have this huge conversion rate, they didn't get there by accident, right? It's a long-term strategy of bit by bit building loyalty, building guest relationships, nurturing your guests, nurturing your leads, having low cancellation rates because you have profiled your guests well and you have made the right offer at the right time. And that would be my opinion. Everybody that tells you that, yeah, we can get 10 bookings on your booking engine and measure, give you a whole conversion plan, is pure and simple lying. There is no quick win over this. Especially not after if the hotel has operated on OTAs only and had like 10 clicks per month on their direct site. It takes time to build a brand, but it also takes time to take down a brand. And I can tell you this also from my experience. If you build a brand, even a tiny little one that's not sophisticated, it has inertia and it's hard to stop it. So even if you fall off the wagon, as we say, for a while and you get back on it, you will still enjoy the fruits of your previous work. And that should be super interesting for hotels because it's really not that expensive or hard or work intensive. It's not something that you can't do. I'm absolutely sure that every single hotel with the crappiest website on the planet can still do nice content and just be authentic in what they talk about. They just have to open their mouth.
Yeah, I love this because you said this is a hard question to answer, and I think you absolutely gave a perfect answer to this with so many valuable points in there that I don't think you could have answered it any better, to be honest.
This is what I mean. She's an expert. She's like so humble as well. Doesn't even consider herself an absolute expert, but there she goes. Now, Taya, before, when we were preparing for the podcast today, you shared some really amazing stats about cart abandonment rates. And I do actually want to touch on that a little bit today. Nadine and I talked a little bit about this actually before the podcast as well. But from the hotels that we talk to, they don't typically think that they're considered part of this e-commerce ecosystem, that they're kind of separate from this. But I think that these cart abandonment like stats that you're talking about really show that there are some principles that relate for hotels as well as the e-commerce brands. But can you share a little bit about maybe the context of why this cart abandonment stuff is so interesting and, you know, what it basically means for hotels as well?
Yeah, sure. So I looked into Statista data for 2022 just to see like how hotels are hanging there in relation to other industries. And I'll just give the numbers so people know what we are actually, you know, talking about. So cart abandonment is an occurrence when a person adds a product to the cart, which is in our case a booking engine, so a room in the booking engine, and then doesn't complete the purchase, right? And it's a big thing in normal e-commerce, and the normal rate, let's say like overall industry rate of cart abandonment is around just under 70%. Yeah. On the Statista data that I found, hotels have a 80% cart abandonment rate, and they are actually not the worst. They're not the best. They're not the worst. The worst are actually cruises and ferries with a 98% cart abandonment rate. Now, that's like a random number, right? But let's if we take away all the other industries and you have like mobile providers are number two, airlines are number three, luxury items in general are number four, that's 87%. What that means is that like 80% of the people that have already come to your hotel and are trying, you know, have for some reason already checked the room and the rates, have decided not to book. Now, understanding what the reasons are for this are quite complex. I mean, there was a study also done in 2018 when they looked in like what are the reasons for cart abandonment rates, which probably changed since then a little bit after COVID. But back in normal e-commerce, it was that the prime reason for 63% was that shipping costs too much. So that's for items, right? The second one was discount code doesn't work. This is something we might see in booking engines, actually, because a lot of them have, you know, coupons capability. And then we had stuff like order takes forever to ship and then have to re-enter their credit card info, which is another one we might see in booking engines, in the way that people might be researching a hotel, they might find a room and a rate. And then instead of offering the guest to keep the data saved for their cart, which means that the room and the rate stays and the date, right, that they selected stays in their cart, people just drop off out of the booking engine and then they're basically back to square one in researching rates and probably ending up on an OTA or some other point of purchase. So there are a few strategies, and this is something where we can be really practical. There are a few strategies that you can deploy for this, and it has to be a functionality mostly. Well, it can be in your booking engine or in your engagement widgets on the site. So what you need to have in order to tackle this is you need to get the guest to leave you some form of contact data, right? Usually it's an email. So if they decide to leave, you can have exit intent modes where the user basically literally moves the mouse to close the tab that they're on, and a little pop-up pops up and says, hey, would you like to drop your email? And we will send you the information about your booking, and you can continue next time when you want to continue, right, your booking process. What it actually means is that you get, even if the guest doesn't book at that point, by capturing the user data, you get their information, your contact information, and you can nurture that lead. And in my personal opinion, which is, let's just say my thing that I've spoken about a few times before, I don't really consider a booking that is made without any payment being processed at that time. So a booking that is on a refundable rate with some cancellation policy that enables the guest to cancel without penalties, and you know, there was no payment made by the guest, I consider that a lead. I don't even consider it a booking. Yes, it's a booking in your PMS, but it's not really a secured sale, and it still needs nurture. So this is a similar kind of thing in my opinion. And if you manage to capture the guest information in one of these ways, so your widget might detect that the user is leaving and pop up a, hey, drop us an email and we will send you your booking information, we will send you a discount code, something like that. It enables you to nurture this lead, and then you can have your email automation tool engage this lead over a sequence of emails, and basically over a period of time, you can use this cart abandonment rate to nurture leads into coming back and giving them special, you know, opportunities like discount codes or upsells or special amenities. Basically, you have everything you need to convert that lead just by reducing the cart abandonment rate through nurture. So we are not speaking now about making the guest book immediately, but we're speaking more about making the guest drop into your nurture program, which then again comes down to your messaging, and you have to explain to them why they would want to finish that booking. And then it gets tricky. Then it becomes skill in crafting the copy and in crafting the content that you will serve to them and the offer that you will give them that will actually make them come back and finish the booking at your hotel.
That's great. I think that's like so good. And I love how you said as well, like it is really practical and it is really actionable. So I hope everybody was taking notes. And if you didn't take notes, rewind and go back and listen again, because I think that's absolutely like brilliant stuff. And I think also when you're talking about nurturing, the story brand that we talked about a bit earlier as well really plays so strongly into that as well, right? So being able to show the guests what's in it for them, not just, you know, what's in it for you as a hotel, but actually thinking about your end user as well. So we're heading into the last couple of questions now. So the second to last question I'll ask, and then it's going to go over to Nadine with, I think, probably Nadine's favorite question that she asks all of our guests. But before we get to that one, my question for you is, where do you think hotel e-commerce is going? And do you have any predictions of what the future looks like for the hotel industry for e-commerce?
I think in the short term, it will be the same as after the last financial crisis. I don't know if you guys were around then, but there was a big bounce back of OTAs, which we see already because Booking.com recorded a 10 billion revenue number in 2021. And in 2019, they were at 15. So they're bouncing back. And I think that's pretty normal because now everybody is basically taking any kind of traffic they can, any kind of guests, they're recovering revenue. They're still not sure if COVID comes back in the winter, right? There's not a lot of selection now. But I think as security comes back a little bit, I think hotels will, because they were forced to think more about technology around through COVID and also afterwards with the staff shortages and all of this, the consciousness around automation, around, you know, how technology can help with not just replace, I'm not saying like replace staff, but keep your staff sane, because, you know, if they're overworked, they are not effective. Your service level won't be what you want it to be. And after all, it probably leads to burnout of staff. I think that hotels will kick back into this mindset of, okay, now we can survive, you know, we see that we are floating. What can we do now that actually deploys what we learned over this whole process and creates better processes ongoing? Because if you think about it, over COVID, and if you remember the beginning of COVID, OTAs and all these other resellers lost so much trust with guests that basically it was a huge reshuffle of the whole mindset of travelers, right? And that's now a huge opportunity. And I think, like, I'm sure that hoteliers are A, resilient enough, and B, smart enough to use this opportunity. And with the reshuffling of staff, you also had a lot of managers change positions. You have this new generation that are coming into leadership positions who have a completely different mindset than the old school. And before COVID, it was quite hard to push out the old school out of the hotels, right? Now you have people who are technologically a little bit maybe more literate. And at some point, like, the level of interest in better processes and in better technology deployed in hotels won't drop to the 2019 levels. It will stay at some higher level going onwards. And all of this, I think, results in understanding the value of brand. I actually looked into it's actually super interesting. So on Statista, let's just mention this because people will... This is super interesting. So they did an analysis of the leading technologies adopted in hotels worldwide as of, it was November 2021, right? And then they looked like how many hotels implemented which technology prior to the pandemic, how many went and implemented during the pandemic, and how many plan to implement what type of technology in 2022, right? So guest surveys were the top implemented by percentage prior to the pandemic. It was 74.5%, and only 4.4 hotels plan to implement it in 2022. But for instance, only 31.6% of hotels had implemented digital payments prior to the pandemic, which blows my mind completely. I have no idea how that is possible.
Just fax machines everywhere or something.
I know that hotels take, you know, credit card details over the phone and everything, but I didn't know that it was still that widespread. And then in 2022, digital payments are actually they have the highest percentage of how many hotels plan to implement that at 14.3%. No, actually mobile keys are the highest one. Sorry about that. I misread the number. It's tiny, but it's still, you know, more than any other tech. And the other tech that they have here is in-room tech, guest messaging automation tools, self-service check-in, mobile keys, and chatbots. So basically, hoteliers are looking at things that make it easier for the guests to manage self-serving payments, self-serving rooms, you know, which makes total sense if you know how hard it is with their staffing issues now. But I find the statistics like super, super interesting because they are, it shows a lot of interest in deploying new technology. And that's something we haven't seen in ages in the industry, if, you know, we've been around a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And I think it's also interesting to see as well, like you're saying, like finding these technologies that are supporting existing things that are in place, or like supporting the stuff that are there rather than necessarily reinventing everything. But it's like, yeah, bringing older things up to maybe like new kind of, like maybe even like standards that we see already outside of the hotel industry as well. So it's not something that's completely new, but it's like things that, you know, are happening in other industries already.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of carryover from one industry to the other. That is the best thing that can happen, is that somebody comes from, like, now Revolut entered the travel, right? Travel sector with their cashbacks and trying to get travel. A lot of fintechs are going in there as well. That's the best thing that can happen, that somebody from outside comes in that is not burdened by whatever dogma it is. You know, you can't connect PMSs, you can't do this, whatever. And then they just say, hold on a minute. I mean, we can do it by completely some weird way that nobody thought about, and they just come in and they just blow everybody away. That's the best thing that can happen to an industry like this. So yeah,
I feel like that's a whole like new episode we have coming there.
I want to hear just one more interesting thing that I found, like, really good for us that are in, you know, building tiny little startups and companies and stuff. They
give us all the statistics.
No, this is a good one, because it says Statista estimates that the market size of the smart hospitality sector in like 2020 versus what they expect it to be in 2027, it goes from 13.9 $1 billion in 2020, so smart hospitality sector, right? To 2027, they expect it to be at $58.1 billion.
Whoa.
Yep. That is more than three times the growth of this industry that we are in. And it is a huge, huge optimism factor, I think, for all of us, right?
That is a powerful statistic, I have to say. If you think about all the things that are yet to come, it's amazing to think about. My favorite question.
Just before you move on, I just want to say, Taya, they were great statistics. Thank you very much for bringing those. Those are brilliant.
Yeah, my favorite question, even though I kind of feel bad for asking this one, because it was just so much great content and so many great things here. But if there are three takeaways that you could give a hotelier after listening to this episode, what would those three key takeaways be?
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. Tricky one.
You're asking to summarize from somebody who can't remember what you said 5 minutes ago. Yay.
Give it your best shot.
I would first say that they should be and stay optimistic, because after surviving the last 2 years, like, there's only optimism ahead, right? And it can be in tech, it can be in all of this stuff that we talked about, it can be in, you know, they see traffic and all of this. And I know that it's hard for them right now, but I would say that they can and should think forward. The second thing I would say is to find good partners to help you along with that, because you really don't have to do this stuff on your own, only on your own, and you shouldn't, because nobody, you know, very few people manage to get to from 0 to 100 on their own, and usually it's by pure blind luck, not by, you know, like, skill or whatever. And the third one, oh, geez, I don't know.
We can let it slide and just say those two main takeaways. Yeah. And Victoria is going to pop a statistic on there as well, and then we're good.
Yeah, brain mush.
Too hot.
The weather, well, 35 degrees.
No, that's great. I think, like, there's so much amazing stuff that we covered today. So thank you so much, Taya. I really, really appreciate you sharing all of your knowledge with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, and it was a pleasure as always.
That's awesome. And one new thing that we're going to start doing is, Taya, is there something that you, like, do you have anything that you want to shout out or promote while we've got you here on the podcast?
We were actually thinking of offering Hotel Champ clients some of our rate scrapes for free, because it's something I have to actually explain what it is. So we've built a rate scraper that can fetch the rates of any hotel worldwide. So if you want to see what your rates look on every OTA that we can find, which is usually 50 plus OTAs for the next 6 months, and any hotel that is your competitor. So for Hotel Champ clients, we can make 5 scrapes. So each like for one hotel, you can reach out to Victoria or to just arrange that. And the idea is, what we do is you will see your pricing as it is, as what you think it is on the OTAs, but you will also see if anybody is undercutting your rates and if you're being sold at some weird point in time for the next 6 months on a rate that you shouldn't or wouldn't want to have out there. So that's something that I would happily offer to Hotel Champ clients.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Yeah, so if anybody is interested in that, then yeah, just send us a message at welcome@hotelchamp.com and we can put you in touch with Taya and the team. Yeah, amazing.
This was awesome. Thank you so much, Taya. This was such a great session.
Thanks.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And for those of you listening at home, please share your thoughts with us. If you think there's anything else that we've missed today, or if you have any questions about any of the topics that we've covered, please get in touch with us at welcome@hotelchamp.com. And make sure to follow Hotel Champ on all of your favorite social media channels. Stay tuned for more episodes in the future. Take care of yourself. Have a great day. And bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was part 2 of our episode with Taya from Metrics Driven. And if you haven't checked out part 1 yet, I definitely recommend that you go and check it out, because it's a great episode and you definitely don't want to miss that.